Good morning, everyone. It's good to see each of you here in the room. Actually, very heartening to see your presence this morning, and I'm grateful to be in worship with you today for your effort and your attention in worship. It is a blessing to all of us. And from this sacred space to your sacred space, wherever you might be and whenever you might partake in this service, we welcome you and we send the love of God from this place to you and wish to receive your well wishes back to us. And we will feel that from you. Thank you for your presence today with us. Just a couple announcements, and you can find all of these announcements in your bulletin, which is prepared each week just for you. And it's a lovely menu. I encourage you to take it home with you and use it as a resource, especially to review the opportunities we have in our community for our spiritual growth. So I'm just going to review some of these announcements, and those of you following along on the screen can see. But we have a change in the time of our Wednesday evening service. We do have a Wednesday evening contemplative service that includes Eucharist. It's a very meaningful, beautiful gathering every Wednesday night, and that will move to 6 o'clock from 6:30. So we're beginning that service at 6 o'clock starting this coming Wednesday, the 1st of September. We have a two-day online centering prayer retreat led by Jill Frank. This is online only. And if you are wondering about the experience of centering prayer in a longer setting, in a structured format, this would be a wonderful way to begin experiencing a retreat of centering prayer in community with others. The online experience has its unique advantages, and normally we would be gathering in the sanctuary, but the online is how we're doing it right now during COVID. So I encourage you to check that out online. And to register for that is a cost of $40. Then we have four classes upcoming starting in early September, actually starting on the week of September 15th. We have a class that is for people who are wondering how to read Beelzebub's Tales. And if you don't know what that book is, class probably isn't for you. If you've never heard that book, try a different class. But this class is for people who know what I'm talking about when I say Beelzebub's Tales. And Robin Bloor, one of the world's experts on Beelzebub's Tales, and Gurdjieff in general, will be leading this class. I'll be hosting it. It will be online only. It's going to be an extraordinary endeavor of teaching us how to understand and read and enter into Gurdjieff's magisterial work that is a profound gift to humankind for those with eyes to read it. And so we also have a class on Meditations on the Troll. This is a reading class. This is a book about Christian Hermeticism. This is a reading group, not so much a teaching group. It's an opportunity to read with others online. Mimi Conroy and I will be leading that group. Then on Fridays at noon, I'll be teaching a class on the mystical dimensions of Christianity, exploring some of the key themes like mystical union and what the difference between the Logos and the Holy Spirit is, and these sorts of things. And that'll happen at noon on Fridays. And then Donald Janung is teaching one of our core classes here called Lessons in Truth. It's a class that's required for membership. So we're hoping that those of you who are interested in learning more about the church would explore that class, Lessons in Truth. It's online only. And if you've taken that class, if you could just hold off on registering so we can allow those who have never taken the class to partake if they so wish. That's a lot, isn't it? Yes, wonderful offerings. But, you know, Zoom allows this to happen in a way that we normally couldn't, especially the noon time frame. People all over can experience the class. And we have a monthly newsletter, which is a wonderful way to stay connected with the life of the community. Different people offered their wisdom and writings in this monthly resource. And if you're not receiving this by email or by mail, do go online and register for it. You can also call the church office and we'll get you set up. I like getting it, the paper copy mailed to me. And it's beautifully prepared. And several in our community are the editors and designers. And that's their gift to us every month, this extraordinary offering that dovetails monthly to our themes and to our annual aim yearly. And similarly, if you'd like to stay in touch with the church, You can register on the church website to receive our Friday email, weekly update. And if you're not receiving that, that might be a helpful resource. So, thank you for your presence. What is it that has brought you here today? What is occurring in your life? Where do you need help? Let's take a moment to tune in to what is occurring in each of our lives, in these bodies of ours. How is Spirit working in us? Just take a moment to make a wish for this service for yourself. May it be so, and may God's grace from above meet us and help us in just the right way for us and for all. We begin this service, therefore, in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we praise you for your faithfulness to each of us in our lifetimes. We come from you and we return to you, and in between we discover you and ourselves more fully. For anyone here today in need of help, we ask that your help would show up in unexpected ways, that you would bless each one of us, that you would instruct us in the way to go, that you would speak to our hearts with words of counsel and wisdom, that you would nourish us with love, and that you would encourage us in the face of sickness, suffering, and death. We belong to you, and we belong to one another, and in this beautiful gift, we help and are helped. We pray these things in your most holy and precious threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
A reading from the book of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank, growth of aimlessness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to heal and transform your being. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. May this word nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Such a powerful passage of scripture. Probably read it again before the day is over. It's one of those morsels that's hiding in plain sight in the Christian New Testament that radiates work ideas. If you have the ears to hear them, that's beautifully embedded in that passage of scripture. And we'll hopefully look at some of the ideas that spoke to me this week. Have you ever really needed help? Have you ever really needed help? I had way too much potassium last night as a calming thing, and boy, my stomach feels crazy right now. I need help. I need help. This chair is a place of help. This chair, the role of minister, is an impossible job, and the sooner one realizes that, the better. It really is an exercise in just surrender, because I really have no right or capacity to play this role any more than anyone else. Certainly, I have formation and education, and I've been on the journey and have been an earnest work student and tried to understand what the work is saying, and you know, delighted in the beings of so many of you, and the being of Tim and Barbara, the being of Thomas Keating, the being of Bernadette Roberts, these beings that have fed me and encouraged me and given me help. I couldn't be here really without people, those beings in my life. Maybe you couldn't be here either without those beings in your life. And so all of us get helped in different ways. And I can't tell you how many times I've thought of just quitting or leaving this particular role or other churches I've served. And in moments of discouragement, or what do I have to offer? What do I have to say? And that sense of being overwhelmed by the mystery that is God. I mean, how can I say anything about God? How can any of us say anything about God? And it's very humbling. It's very humbling. And to not get caught in the mire of doctrine, I believe this, I don't believe this, and then people get fighting about that, and they start churches, and they do their own thing. You know, it's really interesting. So how do we navigate these moments in our lives when we really need help? And the best advice I was ever given was, Peter, take a nap. Take a nap, and things will be different when you wake up. And I've noticed that to be the case, not only a nap, but the next morning, it's different. I don't know what happens at nighttime, you know, energetically, but I think somehow the earth, human beings being bathed in some sort of calming, neutralizing, demagnetizing energy from the moon or from being away from the sun, that something happens in the nighttime when we're sleeping and dream or not, but just sleeping, that nighttime hour cleanses the soul, that cleanses the mind, cleanses the body in such a way that it frees us from ourself of the day's accumulation of energy or burdens of difficulties. And sure enough, that beautiful psalm, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Because it's as if you get up and all of a sudden the thing that you needed help with yesterday, no biggie today. You ever experienced that? So sleep is a beautiful remedy for so much of our identification and getting stuck in the mud with whatever we might need help with or think we need help with or really, really need help with. I always love that funny quote that four-wheel drive just gets you stuck in more remote locations. You know, and it's kind of like that on the spiritual journey. We're out there with the four-wheel drive out there in the wilderness sometimes. And no, it seems like we're the only ones out here, and we're all alone. We don't even know where God is, and we're just stuck in the mud. Don't know how to get out, don't know how to go forward, don't know if we should go back. Don't even know where home base is, you know. And it's as if the rug just gets pulled out from underneath, the whole floor gets pulled out from underneath, and just, here I am, Lord, here I am. What are we to do with this existence? What are we to do with this situation in world history right now? How are we to go forward? I need so much help. I'm overwhelmed. I feel scared. I feel uncertain about so much. I need help. I think of the parents in the room and those listening and watching. I think of the awareness of the responsibility that you bear in this particular era, in this particular world. I can't even begin to imagine the concern for the need for help for parents right now. That 3-year-olds and 6-year-olds are getting exposed to things on a device that no one should ever see or feel things or hear music that no one should ever really hear. the junk, the low-level food that's being created by our cultures. The word created isn't even the right word. It's more like vomited. And so, you know, parents, I feel for you today. I have not had the gift of being a biological father, but I can imagine parents and grandparents, your kind of cry for help for your kids and your grandkids. I think it puts it in huge perspective, big perspective. What is coming? What is this world coming to? Where are we going? What will it be like in the future? And I think these are things where we can just ask for help. Now let's talk a little bit about this help, the kind of help that really helps. This is the kind of help that really helps. And this is the help from above, just to put it simply. It's the help from above. And I know you've heard many people use the analogy of you've got to jump for the rope, you know, that the rope's been given, it's come from above, you got to jump for it. And I believe that's true. But I also believe sometimes God rappels down to us and grabs us and pulls us up when we can't even breathe for ourselves. We can't even think for ourselves. We're so crushed by life, by our decisions, by our addictions, by our choices, by our conflicts. We're just crushed. And that mercy of God comes down and picks us up, lifts us up. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That's so real. And it's hard to put words on, but you know it if you've had it. You know it when it's come to you, and you'll never be the same. And I think that the learning how to ask for help, maybe the better verb is learning how to cry out for help, is one of life's more interesting lessons. And to discover how you need to cry out for help and to actually do it and to let it out. You know, we will do a lot of other things. We will do a lot of other things. Spend money, do yoga, meditate, you know, go on trips. We'll do a lot of things before we cry out for help from above. And maybe that makes it all the more sweeter when we do receive that help from above. Let's look at this passage real briefly and just pull out a couple insights for living. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. I just love that phrase. It's unique in all the New Testament, the Father of lights. Pater photas. This is the Greek. It's just beautiful. And this perfect gift, this notion of perfect gift, unfortunately the English word perfect kind of has some tones to it that make it seem on the maybe somewhat the moral scale, or in a certain sense there's a judgment quality to that word perfect. This is a less than perfect gift. I wanted that for Christmas, not this. I was in freshman year, I wanted a Harley Davidson more than anything, and a Harley Davidson motorcycle, yes indeed. And I lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so it was a thing. And my sister told me that Mom and Bob got you a Harley. And I just couldn't believe it, you know. Well, sure enough, Christmas morning, I'm just looking in the garage. I'm looking outside. I just was totally excited. And I opened up a present, and it was a little toy Harley Davidson motorcycle. So less than perfect. But that's really not the essence of this word perfect. The word in Greek is teleos, where we get the word telescope from. So the notion here isn't perfect as in the best ever. It's complete in the way that will fulfill you. complete in the way that will fulfill you, in just the right way. In other words, to say, it's just the right size. It's just fitted for you. It's perfectly complete. It's not lacking in anything for what you need help with. Now, that perfect gift may not look the way you wanted it to. It may not be what you exactly wanted, but it is complete. There's a difference between being complete and perfect. And it is completing. It gives what you need for that moment in time and that lesson or that situation. It completes you in a way that enables you to go forward. So let us not be looking for the Santa Claus God who gives us every perfect gift, you know, but let us ask for the gifts that will complete us, so to fulfill us and enable us to come to fuller and fuller and fuller development. Does that make sense? I think it changes the concept. The second insight here from this passage is that this perfect or more completing gift for each of us comes from above. Now that is very interesting. Comes from above. The Greek word here for above is so fascinating to me, because on the one hand we tend to think of the big man upstairs, God is up there, and so you can see why when people hear the word above, they think in those terms, like God is up there and he's going to send it down. And even in the work cosmology, the work of inner Christianity that we study here as a tool for our growth and transformation, even the ray of creation gives the notion that God is above us. But that's formatory thinking. It's not actually, you have to think about that as a sphere, not just as a ladder vertically. But the above is everywhere, and if you think in terms of a sphere in every dimension. And if you think about it in terms of space, I think a sphere is a good way of conceiving of the above. But you can also think of it in terms of quality, not just space, but quality. And you could even think of it in terms of a level of being. So every completing gift comes from above the level of your current consciousness. It comes from a place that isn't generating your current level of consciousness. You know that old phrase, you know, problems aren't solved with the same thinking that made the problem. So a transcending and including is required to consent to that higher level of thinking, that aha place, that's such a mystery of inspiration, where one moment you can't figure out the Rubik's Cube, and the next moment, for some miraculous reason, you get it. That's the higher level. That's a level above your way of being, your way of thinking. So help comes from a different place in consciousness, a different place in our being that's ahead of us, so to speak, that's beyond our vision. It's over the horizon of consciousness, but there. It's around the corner, but there. And we can call upon it and ask for that help to come to us. I guess the pop culture word for this is manifest. We can manifest that help. That would be one way of thinking about it. But it's less about our powers to manifest anything, our capacity to be of a conscious state that brings about new realities that change everything, and more about being the receiver of that which is spilling over from that higher source, the pater of phos, the father of lights. The very Greek word above literally means and conveys this idea of a cup spilling over, of a waterfall overflowing its cisterns and cascading downward. That's the image of being receiving something from above. It is actually overflowing from source to you, through you, and beyond you. Can you catch it? Can you receive it? Are you looking? Are you awake to it? How many helps have we missed? Because we weren't looking. We were looking in the wrong direction, for example. And that's forgivable and understandable, because we have been instructed to do it ourselves. And that's really the American way. All this first force, right? All this desire, all this wanting, all this striving after. And help is there from above, that overflowing from source kind of help is there. I know this is very conceptual. I know it's very conceptual. So let's just take a moment and think about an experience. Just take a moment in the silence and conceive and remember what I'm kind of talking about here. When have you received help from above? What did it look like? We say thank you for all these moments and experiences of help. It perhaps is hard to remember, but it's homework, I guess, for the week to come to reconnect with the help that has been there all along and moments of help from above meeting you. And this is so amazing in that it comes from this Father of Lights in whom there's no division. There's no variation or change or shadow. In other words, there's total constancy and total clarity. This is the source. This is the nature of the source. Total constancy and total clarity in its capacity to know what we need and how the help needs to be manifested for us. And oftentimes, from our perspective, I mean, we can't even begin to comprehend God. But God has a way of coming down to our level, coming down, condescending is the technical word, that God accommodates to our level and appears and shows up as forms of inspiration and forms of comfort and forms of guidance and forms of unexpected miracles, being touched by an angel or open doors, a book dropping in your lap, a person coming into your life, unexpected provisions. And so the kind of help that we oftentimes need comes in very specific ways that are pretty predictable for human beings. And I'll just review a few of them here and see how this lands for you. We need help in the area of provisions. We can experience hunger. We can experience lack. We need help in the area of provisions. And many of us don't need help in that area because the system is so set up that our provision needs are being met without any question until all the shelves in the grocery store are empty. Then all of a sudden, whoa, you know, how are my provisions going to be met here? I need help. Then what? Who's your neighbor? Do you know them? Think about the people right now, you know, on the coast, just several hundred miles away from us, and the fears about provision because of a hurricane. It doesn't take much for us to need help with the basics, food and clean water. And we live right on the edge of that, as we all know this past winter. We live right on the edge of those basic things that we take for granted not being there. And what would we do? Who would we go to? Where would our help come from? That would become very up close and personal. But you know, there are billions of people around the world that live in that state of not knowing where their daily bread is coming from, or not having good health care or clean water. And so we can begin to empathize and have sympathy and connect with those people around the world who need help in a way that we don't. Another way in which human beings need help is in decision making. We need help with the provisions, and we need help with decisions. And decisions become really touch points in our life. There's the big decisions, and then there's the small decisions. But they string together and make the pearl of our lifetime, that string of pearls of our choices, of our decisions. And there are some rotten pearls on my string I would love to peel off there, but there they are. I need help knowing what to do, Lord. I need help making this decision. I need help. I need guidance. Please show me a sign. What am I to do in this situation? Ask for help when you're facing a big decision and a small decision. I remember when I was 17 years old, I had this conversion experience. It was an emotional experience, but it was as if the lights got turned on. I had always been a God lover, young child God lover, but something happened in this responded to a guy's preaching and came down for this altar call in this Baptist church. And, you know, I was crying on my knees and got up, and it was as if the lights had just been switched on. And all of a sudden I had concerns that were never there before. I had interests that were never there before, like reading a book, studying the Bible. And I remember that afternoon, someone asked me to go do something I normally wouldn't do, flying an airplane, small little airplane. And I remember, for the first time in my conscious memory, remembering, Lord, well, should I do that? You know, it's a silly thing, but we go through our days never asking for help, for guidance, for our decisions. And perhaps the results of our choices are reflecting back to us the fact that we haven't asked. And that is something to just look at. Are you asking for help in your choices, in your decisions? Really important area of our life. We need help in our provisions, in our decisions, in our relations. And probably this is the raw spot for most of us, where help is most evident for most of us, and our relationships, whatever relationship it might be, with a colleague, with a family member, with a spouse, with a child, our relationships become the place where asking for help is very essential. Help from above, the Father of Lights, who is so consistent and is so clear, this source that wishes to give guidance for us in our moments of challenge in every relationship, in our moments of confusion in every relationship. These relationships become our schools so often, and we need help in them. And so often in these relationships, we have to do repair work after the fact. The help comes after the damage has been done. And John Gottman, in his beautiful book, Seven Principles of Successful Marriages, calls that repair attempts. After a bomb goes off, he says, there are healthy relationships, not just marriages, but healthy colleagues, healthy neighbors. After a bomb gets thrown, it doesn't really matter what bombs are thrown, they've found out. What really matters and what makes the difference in healthy, enduring relationships is the repair attempt, if it happens and if it takes. And repair is just another beautiful word for asking for help, asking for forgiveness, asking for reconciliation, for a new beginning, for a new start. SOS, you've heard that word? SOS? Anyone know what it means? Just really, seriously, shout it out if you know what SOS means. Save our souls. Someone said that. There's another word. Another word people use as well. Save our souls and save our ship. Yep. Now I did a little research this week. I get paid the big bucks to do that, Marianne. it turns out that SOS doesn't mean anything. It's just a misnomer that it's come to be save our souls or save our ship, but actually, it's just three dots followed by three dashes followed by three dots. And in Morse code, the dot represents S and the dash represents O, S, O, S. It literally meant nothing, but it's come to mean, you know, it's help. Help. And when you're lost, you know, one of the first things they say is build a fire, smoke, and put SOS out. And we need to send an SOS out a lot more than we do to the Father of Lights, to that source who helps us from above. We send SOSs out to all sorts of other things. You know, do we need to list them? All those SOSs I send out to the things that really can't save me, the SOS to the substance that numbs me, the SOS to the activity that tunes me out for a moment of my pain or my suffering, the SOS to misbehavior, the SOS to feelings of fear, the SOS to feelings of anger, the SOS that we send out to kind of that chest puffing whatever we do to show that we're in control, the SOS to backbiting, you know, all these little strategies we've invented to send SOSs out for our brokenness. And the Father of Lights is waiting to send us from the overflow of the Source a different quality from above, from beyond, from around the corner, from over the horizon of your current level, my current level of consciousness. That's why cultivating stillness and silence through some form of practice, whether it's centering prayer or some other meditative practice, we choose centering prayer in our community. These practices can help still the nervous system, calm the surge of adrenaline and the hormones, and keep us in the prefrontal neocortex, and keep us from going back into that reptilian brain and all the power of the amygdala that was there for its own reasons. But to have practices that cultivate in us that silence and stillness so that we can send out a more complete SOS signal that will fulfill our development versus deplete us, take us down, and send us home more broken. SOS. Save us from ourselves. And the last one I want to touch on, which is tender for all of us, and that is the you could just call it the problems that we face. The problems that we face, we need help with. And in particular, I've become very sensitized to the health problems that we have. And the health problems that take us down to a place of rawness. If you've ever been sick or are sick or experienced the fear of sickness, and I know we are all living in an era of a pandemic, and that fear has been really tangible for a lot of people in our culture, in our world. And, you know, as a board, we've had conversations about this, you know, and sure, as individuals, you've had conversations about this. How does my faith change my fear about getting sick? How can my faith be in conversation with my fear about my sickness or getting sick or dying? How can this Father of Lights help us when it comes to our health? And the important thing here, I think, is to remember the witness of Jesus and other wise ones. But Jesus, this beautiful manifestation of the being of God as one of us, a claim that no other religion makes, even all the avatars of Hinduism, don't precisely make the claim that here we have the fullness of divinity united to the fullness of humanity. As I understand it in many other religions, they're okay with the fullness of divinity showing up in a container that looks like a man, but they're not okay if you say it's fully man. They want to make it a little more special human, not fully human. This is the claim of Christianity, the revelation of Christianity, how much human nature means to God, quoting Bernadette Roberts. That union of the human and the divine was here not just to save us once and for all, though it does that as a species, but to demonstrate what the telos, what we're moving toward as a species and individuals is. that possibility of increasing the union of the divine nature with the human nature. And if that's the case, if that's really what we're here for, wow. And where would you learn what a person who is that already behaves like, acts like, lives like? I'm sure you can find many sources of inspiration, but I would just hold forth to you, that's what Jesus is, and that's what he shows us. And his relationship to the worst kind of sickness, which is called dying on a cross, I mean, you can't get any more sick than that. Sickness, the fear of sickness is that it's going to debilitate us or take us to death, right? Isn't that really the fear behind sickness? That we're going to lose income, lose capacity, maybe even die. Isn't that really what's behind the fear of sickness? Because you can actually die, perhaps? So if death is this thing that all of us are going to experience, why are we so afraid of it and everything in between before then? So here's the message of Christianity. If you can just get a hold of the power of the resurrection, just for a second, it's atomic fuel to propel you for a lifetime of faith. Because if the resurrection is real, well, holy cow, what does it matter how much sickness you have or death you have? What does it matter if there's unending panic and pandemic? Well, I know it's saying a lot, but perhaps, you know, the resurrection is our help as a species. And we just want to ground our faith in that. And Jesus models it so beautifully. And he basically models it in his last moments on this earth, and the record of his, you know, wisdom coming out in the Gospels is, number one, in whatever thy will is, thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done. That's the disposition of asking for help. It's surrender. Thy will be done. And the second thing he models for us, as the record accounts, is that he says to the thief on the cross beside him, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Time, space, relationship. Today, time, paradise, space or place, could be consciousness, could be an actual place, relationship, you and me. It's so beautiful. There's a you and there's a me. There's not just a we or an it. There's a you and there's a me. And we just can take that and in. We are not the drop that dissolves into the ocean. That's a different system. It's a different whole, another worldview. Total. You're a drop, and there's an ocean. The oneness is a oneness of manyness. I don't know how else to say it, but it's so beautiful. It's an interrelatedness, and that's the mystery of the Trinity. And that's the mystery of our own journeys with God. An I and a thou. I know of nothing more comforting to someone on the edge of death than those words of Jesus. In a moment, we'll be together in paradise. So if that's your worldview, asking for help is really easy. And the third thing I leave you with is, he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And We're not going into the emptiness. We're not going into the void of voids. We're not going into the impersonal nothingness. Into thy, thou, the mystery that is the source of all things. The beauty of love itself, manifesting love itself. Into that I commend my spirit. I give to you my spirit. It's another very practical demonstration of someone calling out for help in a very precise way. I close with the story of Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. I loved Mr. Rogers' show as a boy. And Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, went to La Trobe Elementary School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the kids picked on him because he was quite overweight, apparently, and he was very sensitive about his weight. He said that it was a horrible experience, and the pain was part of his wanting to do what he did on television for children. He writes, "I began a lifelong search for what is essential. I began a lifelong search for what is essential. What it is about my neighbor that does not meet the eye. What it is about my neighbor that does not meet the eye." He framed a print of this idea on the wall of his studio. It's in Latin, but translated it says, "What is essential is invisible to the eye." What is essential is invisible to the eye. And so really, any conversation about getting help can conclude with giving help. Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And how can we help them? To see what is invisible in them. To discern how they need help in ways they may not be able to say or even know. To help each other at that essence level. Wow. Would you be my neighbor? You've heard what I've had to say. Let's just let the silence speak to us now. For each of us in need of help today, give us the courage to cry out, the wisdom to know when to let go, and the capacity to receive what you're offering. We pray this in your most holy and precious name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. One of the ways we demonstrate help and helping is by practicing reciprocal maintenance. We give to the church that feeds us spiritually, and the church feeds us and many others, and tithes upstream to others as well. And this beautiful process is a process of faith. So let's take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands or into our consciousness, whether we give here in the basket in the back or online or mailing in by check. Let's remember this truth over our lives and over the lives of our beloveds, saying together, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We dedicate all the tithes, gifts, and offerings and financial flow to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen.
I want to step into some deep time. take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time. Sun is warm on my shoulders on this morning, bright and clear. There's no past to regret, no future to fear. I want to step into some deep time, take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments. Deep time. I want to hear time breathe. Life like me and you. Seeking lovers to conceive. Moments of wholeness and truth.
Let us now step into the silence and consent to God's love, presence, and action for 10 minutes of centering prayer.
I invite you to uncap your containers for our Eucharist today. And please don't put them back on until we're singing Amazing Grace, just to retain the silence during Eucharist. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was handed over to death, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. For us all, this is the blood of Christ." Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Grace is another word for help, and I'm grateful for each of you for being here today, for your attention and for your effort to be here. It is a blessing in this community. And for those of you online, we send love and are grateful that we've been together today. I'll be up front if you're new, or I'd love to meet you if you're visiting for the first time. Marianne will be on the bridge and can greet you as you leave. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is our help now and always. Amen. Amen.